All right. Now, before we go to Garland, I'm going to have Garland on tonight and tomorrow night, because tomorrow is the 59th anniversary of the killing of President John F. K. Or JFK, John F. Kennedy. I want to talk to Garland about it, because he's kind of an expert in this field, studied it for years. So I want to have him on for a few minutes tonight, a few minutes tomorrow night as well, to talk about this, because there's a lot to cover. But I do have a big announcement for you. My music CD, A Brandon House Traditional Christmas, just came out today. I just got the first two copies, all right? I just got the first two copies. We have thousands of copies, I think 5,000 copies originally, coming into us, supposed to be Friday. So if you want to do a pre-order, they're supposed to arrive to us Friday, and then we'll have, pretty quick after that, we'll have the DVD of the full concert. Now, this was recorded in a studio, but I did a full concert at Lake of the Ozarks the middle of October, and we filmed it with multiple cameras, as you're about to see, and we're going to release this full concert on Thanksgiving Day as a part of our Thanksathon. We'll release a bunch of the house-to-house shows, a couple of them, I should say, the most that I filmed yesterday. You're going to love those. My wife's cooking and decorating a decor show. It's always fun to get me in the kitchen where I can mess things up. But you'll have to watch that. We'll release those on Thanksgiving Day as part of our second annual Lindell TV Thanksathon, trying to have some fun and lighthearted and stuff that's kind of related to the day of Thanksgiving. So on Thanksgiving Day, we will release the full concert of my Christmas concert filmed in the Ozarks. But these are now available for you to order. The first 5,000 are supposed to arrive to us Friday if everything stays on course. But you can do an order for the CD and or the DVD. Here's a little taste of what the concert will look like that we will release for the first time on Thanksgiving Day here on Lindell TV. Watch this.
Do you see what I see? Way up in the sky, little lamb.
Order your CD and or DVD of A Brandon House Traditional Christmas. You can order the CD for $19.99 or the DVD of Brandon House live in concert at the Ozarks Worldview Weekend for $24.99. Or order both the CD and DVD that is normally $45 for the special package price of just $29.99.
Thine is the kingdom and the
at WVWTVstore.com. That's WVWTVstore.com. Or by calling 901-468-9357. That's 901-468-9357.
Go. So you got a taste of what the full concert is going to be like. We'll release the full concert on Thanksgiving Day right here on Lindell TV as part of our Thanks-a-thon. Then we'll post it online. You can watch it on demand. But if you want the CD, you can go ahead and order it, WVWTVstore.com, or call 901-468-9357. Oh, come all you faithful, sweet little Jesus boy, away in a manger, do you hear what I hear? Oh, little town of Bethlehem, silent night, I heard the bells. Oh, holy night, the Lord's Prayer. Oh, come, Emmanuel, and joy to the world. Again, I just got my first two copies today. 5,000 more on their way. Supposed to be here Friday, if it stays on track. Go ahead and get your order in. All right, joining me now is Garland Favorito. Hey, Garland, thanks for being with us. We had a breaking interview there with Alan. It blows my mind, so it went a little long. I don't know if you can join me for part one tonight, part two tomorrow night. Can you?
Yeah, I can, and that really blew my mind, too. I was just amazing what's going on down in Brazil.
Absolutely. All right, do you want to go to my PowerPoint you sent me, or did you send me a new one?
No, I sent you a PowerPoint, I think. I sent Logan just a few minutes ago. Thought we could just start off with that, see how far we go.
Okay, is that is that different from the one I have that you sent me earlier?
I don't think it is.
Okay, well then I'll go off mine right here. All right, so here we go.
I'm not sure.
That's not it? Okay. All right. Nope. So we're gonna, Logan's gonna pull it up there. So I guess I'm gonna see it for the first time myself. So before we get into this, Garland, tell me, I've been studying the JFK assassination since the early 90s. And you've been studying it for a long time as well. Roger Stone, of course, wrote a book on it. But I bet there, I know there are actually many, many, many Americans that have kind of been couch investigators on this, armchair investigators, if you will. What got you into this, and how long you've been studying it? And by the way, it's the 59th anniversary of the killing of JFK tomorrow.
That's right. The early 90s is exactly when I got in too, Brandon. It was 1993, the 30th anniversary of the Kennedy assassination. So I went to Dallas for that anniversary, and I've been kind of fascinated by it ever since. There's just so much information. More and more has continued to come out decade after decade as they release more facts, more evidence.
So let's get into it. You got the slide? You got the PowerPoint, Logan? All right, here we go. Let's go.
So Brandon, as you know, at least 74% of Americans don't believe the official government version. That was based on a Newsweek 2004 poll. It's probably a lot higher now. So what's wrong with the official government version? So I thought two facts kind of sum it all up. So you've got this lone assassin, Lee Harvey Oswald, who shot JFK while he was riding in a limo, allegedly from the sixth floor of the Dallas, Texas School Book Depository. And he was using a Mannlicher Carcano rifle that had a bent scope. The rifle was first manufactured in 1891, and it had been discontinued since 1946. Not exactly what you would think would be a murder weapon that could be fired from such a far distance away. I guess for folks who have been to the sixth floor of the Texas School Book Depository, you can probably see how what an absurd conclusion that could have been.
Exactly. By the way, we went down there to Daley Plaza and walked it a year ago this past summer. I took Logan, Melissa and I, and Logan went and we walked it, and I tried to show, you know, I showed them the grassy knoll. I actually jumped up on the pedestal of that white brick pedestal where the gentleman took it right there. I stood in that same spot. I showed him the fence in the grassy knoll where some think that a shot came from the fence over on the parking lot side of the grassy knoll. I showed them the cutout in the street where some think perhaps the fatal headshot came from the gutter down there in the manhole underneath the manhole cover. I showed them, of course, where the six sixth floor was of the book depository. You know, so I tried pointing out all of it and then showing them all the different scenarios. Who do you, well, let's keep going here, but who do you think did it in the overall? Who do you think was involved?
Well, obviously, there's a lot of folks involved, but the obvious, all the evidence points to the CIA. And I think that virtually almost every assassination researcher agrees that the CIA had a major role. There are differences over technicalities, but I really don't know of any assassination researcher who's legitimate that denies the CIA had a role in the assassination.
Which really means then we've been living under basically a government run by the deep state / CIA, the intelligence community, since the killing of the president of the United States. And aside from Donald J. Trump and Ronald Wilson Reagan, these two slipped in. I think they tried to take out Reagan, and who knows how many times they tried to take out Trump. Certainly legally they've tried to. Would you agree with those statements?
Oh, absolutely. And the Reagan assassination is a whole nother thing.
Absolutely.
We need to get into as well.
Yeah, we do. I mean, what are the odds that Hinckley's brother was supposed to be having dinner that night with one of the Bush boys, right?
Well, that's right. Neil Bush was having dinner with Scott Hinckley, John Hinckley's brother. And, of course, their father, Hinckley's father, was head of World Vision, and he was also a big contributor to George H.W. Bush.
And not the World Vision, not the ministry World Vision.
Yeah, he was president at one point in time of that ministry.
Really? Of that? Oh, okay, because there are two World Visions. You mean that one?
I believe so, but I might be wrong.
Let's double check that one.
Okay.
But the rumors are that George H. was in Dallas that day, and there's some figure of some guy that's sure from the side looks a lot like George H., who went on, of course, to be CIA director. And then, of course, president, vice president, then president, which, who, by the way, would have been president if Reagan had been shot and killed that, or he was shot, but if he had been killed that day, VP
right.
Bush would have been president. So that shadowy figure that looks an awful lot the way George H. used to stand, what do you make of that picture? Was he in Dallas, you think?
Well, absolutely. If you look at the picture, I think, I had the picture in the presentation, and maybe tomorrow I'll try to get that in, and we'll let the people decide if that was George H.W. or not. It definitely looks like it to me.
Yeah. All right. Let's go back to that slide. So the idea that rifle could be used for the sixth book depository, not real likely. Of course, were there any residue on the hands
No, that was my next slide. But before we get there, let me just make one more point about how bad this government version is. You remember the magic bullet theory that Senator Allen Spector came up with. And that basically, this magic bullet had to enter Kennedy's back, exit his throat, turn right, enter Governor Connally, pause in midair for 2 seconds, make 5 entry and exit wounds in Governor Connally, and then it appears in pristine condition on a gurney at Parkland Memorial Hospital. So that, to me, is the crazy part of this whole, even worse than the first one, this whole government version of the assassination.
Wow, wow.
But to your point, Brandon, if we go to the next slide.
All right.
Then that, your point was, what about the ballistics test on Oswald? They ran a fingerprint analysis, paraffin test, nitrate test, and a neutron activation analysis. And all of those show that Oswald did not fire a rifle on that day, or even a gun for that matter.
In fact, if I remember correctly from the documentary, The Men Who Killed Kennedy, have you ever seen that 5-hour documentary, The Men Who Killed Kennedy?
Yes, I have.
The History Channel used to run it all the time, and then some lawsuit or something happened. They stopped running it. You know what that was all about?
I don't know.
Well, in that documentary, they say that Oswald's fingerprints weren't even on the rifle until some characters from some looked like government people visited the funeral home where the funeral director in the documentary was asked to leave the room, and they came back in and after the government guys who they thought that they were government guys left, and Oswald's hands apparently were black from, I guess, where they were putting stuff on his hands and putting his fingerprints on that rifle. I mean, again, if this is to be believed, that's what's in that documentary, The Men Who Killed Kennedy, which is not to be confused with Roger Stone's book, The Man Who Killed Kennedy.
Right. And that's exactly right, Brandon, because the FBI at that time had possession of the rifle later on. And all of the other tests were run before the FBI got possession of the rifle and had access to the morgue where Lee Harvey Oswald was stored.
Sure. Yeah. All right. Let's see. What do we have? What's the next one? Okay. The film.
So you mentioned the Zapruder film. And you've already said this, but the film shows that the fatal bullet came from the grassy knoll, as you already explained. And the wounds are also shown, they're on the same horizontal plane. So it's not possible that Oswald could have fired a shot from the sixth floor of the school book depository straight down and hit Kennedy the way that the bullets, the entry wound, one of them was at the back of the neck and through the throat. So that just doesn't correspond to the sixth floor anybody shooting anything from the sixth floor.
All right.
And then you got the three bullets that were fired in less than 6 seconds. So Oswald could not do that, particularly with that rifle. That's a virtual impossibility. So you got multiple shooters and you have a conspiracy, regardless of what the Warren Commission said.
All right, next slide.
So what really happened, after Kennedy was shot, he was rushed, as you know, to Parkland Memorial. And that's where the doctors confirmed that the fatal bullet struck Kennedy in the right temple, just exactly, which means it had to have come from the grassy knoll. But there was a couple of Secret Service agents that forcibly removed the body against state law. You know, state law in Texas, the county has to conduct an autopsy and examine the body because it's a murder. But they forcibly removed the body at gunpoint, stuck it on Air Force One. And if you remember when Air Force One arrived in DC, they took it over to Bethesda Naval Hospital, but there were actually two caskets. One, the regular casket that's what we were led to believe, that the body of John F. Kennedy was in. But in reality, it came in a, his body came to the medical examiners in a box, like a shipping crate, not in a casket that we saw on TV. So that was another diversion that occurred.
Yeah, there are some that believe that somewhere, maybe in flight or somewhere along the way, some surgery started taking place on the president's head to conceal the wound to make it look like it came from a different direction, correct?
Yeah, and that gets us to our next slide, Brandon.
Oh, well, look at that. I haven't even been to the slides, and I'm following right along with you. There you go.
And the autopsy was probably the most ridiculous autopsy ever conducted in American history. There were so many things wrong with it. They didn't try to determine what direction the bullet came in. The brain actually ended up disappearing.
Yeah, it's gone from the National Archive. It's not even there anymore.
Right, now, it's gone since 1966. You know, the findings from this autopsy at Bethesda basically conflicted with everything Parkland Memorial testified to. And then the doctor who had to testify at Garrison's trial, Garrison was the prosecutor out of New Orleans who was trying to get to the bottom of this. He admitted that the autopsy was controlled by the admirals and generals that had no pathological experience. And essentially they were under control of the joint chiefs of staff.
And of course, there was a lot of tension between the military and the brass, the top brass in the Pentagon, and Kennedy. I mean, he didn't trust those guys. Of course, after the Bay of Pigs, he really didn't trust them. He wanted to scatter the CIA into 1,000 pieces. So the military-industrial complex and the intelligence-industrial complex, they all had reasons to get rid of him. So did Lyndon Baines Johnson, who was VP, who Roger Stone says was about to go to prison.
Absolutely, and that brings us to our next slide.
Well, look at that. Again, we haven't rehearsed this, but we're tracking with each other.
So, as you said, the CIA, here's one piece, they were upset about the Bay of Pigs, situation. But there was also another document, Operation Northwoods. And the CIA wanted to invade Cuba, and the Joint Chiefs had prepared this document that for justification for military intervention in Cuba, and they recommended terrorist attacks against the United States that they could use to blame Cuba so that they could invade Cuba.
Well, that sounds like almost like a 9/11 scenario.
Doesn't it there? So this was 30, 40 years earlier. So, but to your point, Brannon, so JFK demoted the Joint Chiefs of Staff Chair, Lyman Limnitzer, and he fired the CIA Director, Alan Dulles, as well as the Deputy Plans Commissioner, Richard Bissell, and the CIA Deputy, Charles Cabell. But Cabell's brother, Earl, happened to be the Dallas mayor on the day that John F. Kennedy was murdered.
Wow. A lot of connections.
Yeah, yeah. So,
by the way, I have a guy that I met in my travels in Northern Virginia at a church that I know of and heavily involved in over the years, and I was introduced to a man there and had a chance to visit with him extensively in person, and his father was a White House photographer, and I'm not going to say his name, but if you go and research the photographer, you'll find him. He was a White House photographer. You can see all kinds of photos he took during the Kennedy administration. Well, his son told me all these stories about going to the White House on the weekends with his dad and whatnot. And he says his dad was called in to take some of the autopsy photos. And when his dad was taking the photos, there were steel rods going through the president's brain there at Bethesda to show the trajectory of the bullet. And the rods were going different directions, showing, I guess, I don't know, maybe more than one shooter, obviously. He said the photos that his dad took, the footage was taken by men in dark suits, never seen again, never developed. When he testified at the Warren Commission, his testimony was stricken. He went in for routine surgery and didn't come out alive.
Wow.
And I heard that from his son in person, standing right in front of me. So,
wow.
All right, let's pick it up here tomorrow night. Normally we talk to him, Garland, about voterga.org, but tonight we're talking about JFK. And tomorrow night we'll pick up at 8:30 with part two with Garland of voterga.org. We're talking about the 59th anniversary tomorrow of the assassination of John F. Kennedy. Thanks for being with us, Garland.
Always a pleasure, Brannon.
You too. Thank you. Folks, thank you for your support. Do that by going to MyPillow.com. Use that promo code B66. Take care.